Well, good morning. Well, it sure is good to see you. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And this is the extent of my voice today. I can't get any louder. This is full volume, so I hope that you can hear me okay. Not sick. Don't necessarily feel bad. I just have something going on with my sinuses. So if I sniffle, please don't tell my wife, because when I make that sound, she can hear it from two states away. And she says, don't ever do that in public again. If you're here today and you're married, if you're a lady and you're here today and you're married, I want you to repeat after me, ladies, okay? Ready? I love my husband. I would never hurt my husband. I would never make fun of my husband if he got hurt. That's right. Exactly. Now, would you like to know the preemption as to why I had you share that? Last night, I'm gargling before I go to bed, hoping that I can speak. And I reach into the cabinet in the bathroom and get out my heavy-duty mouthwash. And I'm gargling, and I'd left the door of the cabinet open, and it's glass on this one end. So as I'm gargling and I bend over to spit into the sink, I full speed hit my head right here in the cabinet, on the medicine cabinet. And there's actually a cut there. It's not big, but there's a cut there. And Heather laughed hysterically for probably 20 minutes. So ladies, remember, I would never hurt my husband. And I would never make fun of my husband if he got hurt, okay? Remember that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. This morning we're starting into a new sermon series entitled Found Faithful. Found Faithful. We're talking about our stewardship. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about different aspects of our stewardship. And this morning we are setting the stewardship standard. The stewardship standard for our church, the stewardship standard for us as individuals, and the first thing that we're going to talk about this morning is our monies and our passions. You know, Diane asked me earlier in the week about what I was going to be, which topic of stewardship I was going to be preaching on, and I was still kind of undecided because I knew monies was either going to be the first thing I talked about or the last thing. People get uptight when you talk about money, don't they? And I've already said we're going to talk about our stewardship to money, and it's probably some of you all have already puckered up tighter than a snare drum, that I'm going to talk to you and give you a hard time about how you give and how much you give, and that's not the purpose of today's message. It's not, but we're going to start out talking about our monies and why our monies are important. And you're going to learn some things that the Word of God says about how we give and why we give. And that's what I want you to gather from this. It's not necessarily about the sum of what you give. I don't want you to think that this message is about encouraging you necessarily to give more. This message is about why we give and how your heart should be as you give it. That's the greater purpose of this message, because if you give a lot of money for the wrong reasons, what good is that? Amen? What good is it if you give a lot of money for the wrong reasons? Not really any good. We're going to talk about why we give and how we give that money. Setting the stewardship standard, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. If you find your reading in the Word of God, if not, it's on the screen here. Please stand with me if you can as we give God the honor and the glory to the reading of His Word. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says it this way. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come and to be here in your house, to praise you, to honor you, to worship you, to fellowship here one with another. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that as we come into the next several weeks, Lord, that you take this sermon series, Father, and that you just uplift it, Lord, to what you would have it to be. Lord, as we learn how to be greater stewards of what you've put us here in charge of, Lord, what you've given us, what you've blessed us with. Father, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we will be diligent, Lord, and that we will be faithful with the things that you have given us. And Lord, as we talk about our money today, Lord, Lord Father, I pray that you help us to see and realize that everything we have is because you have given it to us. There is nothing that we have in this life, Lord, that you don't already own or possess and that you have not already blessed us with. So, Lord, help us to have a heart, Lord, to return the blessings that you've given us. Lord, help us to have a heart that would be about honoring you with what you have given us, Lord. And, Lord, teach us, Father, that by being faithful to give, Lord, it's a sign of our faith in you. Lord, I pray that as a church, you grow us together to be the body of believers that you would have us to be. Lord, growing us together not only in Christian and spiritual maturity, but Lord, in numbers also. Lord, that we can go forward doing your work and your will, and all of it would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, I pray today if there's somebody beneath the sound of my voice who's never known you in the free pardon of sin, then Lord, I pray today that they would step out in faith and faith alone, coming to accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, maybe there's a Christian here today who struggles with this very issue of stewardship. Lord, maybe there's a Christian here today who struggles with other burdens of the heart or of the life. Well, Lord, I pray that today they would come to this altar, a place of refuge, and lay it all at the foot of the cross, just placing their burdens before you. Father God, we just ask your Spirit to come to lead, guide, and direct every aspect of this service. Lord, preach me as a dying man unto a lost and a dying world. May you receive all the honor and the glory for it all. It's in your holy precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. How is it that we can expect others to be found faithful in Christ if we ourselves cannot be found faithful before Him? You know, this scripture that we open up with is very poignant, and it gets kind of right to the point. If you don't care to throw that back up on the screen for me. It's very to the point. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. You know, it's very simple. It's very to the point. How can we expect others to live by this standard of honoring the Lord with their wealth and their first fruits if we ourselves are not willing to live up to that standard? You know, this is a message that's not about judging you. It's not a message that's meant to prick necessarily the heart, but it is a message that is expected to help you open up and to look and to understand. One of the toughest areas for God's people is to give God of our money and of our passion. You know, for many of us, it's our greatest stumbling block, what we give to God. You know, Jesus spoke in more parables about money and about our passion than any other topic in the Word of God. How many of you knew that? How many of you would have guessed that? I say it again in case you can't hear it through my voice. Jesus spoke more in parables about money and in passions than any other. There's over 550 verses in the New Testament about faith. Over 500 about prayer. But altogether, there are 2,350 verses on the topic of money and passion. And you know what? You say money and passion. Why? Because as we're going to see in this message, oftentimes those two things are greatly correlated together. So often our money becomes our passion. And our passion seems to be centered around our money, does it not? Anybody know anybody like that? Maybe if you're not that way yourself, I can promise you or guarantee you probably know somebody who is. You probably know that somebody who is kind of like a Scrooge-type character, that they would do anything that they possibly could to gain another dollar. You know, you may, some of you older folks may have heard the old term, they would take the pennies off a dead man's eyes. Anybody ever heard that before? Nobody's ever heard. Some of you all have heard that. I know it's not just an Appalachian Rock Castle thing, but maybe it is more of an Appalachian thing. My grandmother used to say that a lot. Well, so-and-so, they were so tight, they'd take the pennies off a dead man's eyes. You know, it was an old custom back in the day. They'd place pennies on the eyes of the dead in order that they might pay for their funeral services, basically. It was kind of a way of paying over to whoever was going to conduct the funeral services. So my grandmother used to say that, and I thought about that. There are some people like that in life. There's some people that will cut any possible corner that they can in order to have more money in their bank account. You know, I want to share a personal experience from what happened in my life. You know, there was a time long before that I got married, I was single. I worked for state government. And in the year 2011, I made about $62,000 after taxes. And I'm not saying that to be prideful. That's not necessarily a lot of money. But for somebody who's, you know, in their young 20s, I was doing great. Life was good. I had hardly any complaints. In 2012, I made $13,000 adjusted gross income. And I've never made it back to what I made all those years before. You know, I got laid off from a job. Things got difficult. I went to work full time in law enforcement. I mean, things just kept going downhill. But you know what? God has blessed me more with less money than He has at any point in time when I was doing the best financially in my life. And you may not believe that, or you say, well, I just don't know about that. But I'm just telling you from my personal experience how that God impacted and moved on my life. So Jesus spoke about monies and passion more than any other topic. You know, one great preacher of the Word of God said it this way: We are only as far along in our walk with the Lord as we trust Him with our tithes. We're only as far in our walk with the Lord as we trust Him with our tithes. And you know, that says a lot. It says a lot. If you're willing to trust God with everything and tithe as we should, to give God our wealth and to honor Him with our wealth, then we know in our hearts that if we do this, that God will take care of us. You know, if we give God the first fruits, God will provide for us, that we won't be in need, that we will never be without, because that is the God that we serve. How many of you believe that? I mean, if you don't, you need to. If you don't, you need to wake up and realize that you're only as far in your walk as you're willing to trust God so much that you'll give Him the first fruits of all things. If you've got your sermon outline, let's get into the meat of that. The first point this morning is this. Let's look at what is the purpose of my stewardship. What is the purpose of our stewardship? You know, our stewardship honors the Lord, amen? That's what the purpose of our stewardship is for. Honor the Lord. We give in order that we would honor the Lord. It's not for any other purpose. By no other means should we give but to honor the Lord. But there's people who give for a lot of different reasons, are there not? Some people are guilt givers. Some people give because they feel that they should. Well, I'm going to give something, but I'm going to do it because I feel that I should, because it's required of me. You know, I don't want you to give to God because you feel, well, it's required of me. Well, I've got to give to God because it's really the right thing to do. Don't be a guilt giver. Give to God to bring honor to His name. You know, you put that $50 bill, that $100 bill, that large check in the offering plate, and you do it simply out of the feeling of guilt because I feel that I should. What is the real purpose of your giving? The purpose of your giving goes from honoring God to honoring yourself. Well, I do it because I should. You see, the focus is not about God anymore. The focus becomes about you, or it becomes about I. Some people are grudge givers. They give because I have to. Well, I really have no choice. I have to. I have to just because the Word of God says to. Therefore, I must. There again, we move from honoring God with our gifts to honoring ourselves. It becomes about I. I am doing this just because I have to. You know what? That's not what giving is about. Amen? You know, Jesus Christ didn't give His life just because He had to. You know, He prayed to God, Lord, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way. But He didn't just give His life because He had to. You know, Jesus gave His life for something greater. Jesus didn't just give His life because He felt like He should. Jesus gave His life because He loved us. Amen? He gave His life because He loved us. And that's how you and I should give. We should be grace givers. Amen? We ought to give gracefully. Once again, Jesus was the greatest of the grace givers. You know, what does that mean to be a grace giver? You know, to be a grace giver is one who gives without the objection or the thought of anything in return. How many people do you know that give for the sole purpose of receiving something in return? You know anybody like that? Nobody? I must be the only one who's ever experienced anybody like that. Well, I tell you what, you guys are blessed. You don't want to ever run into those types of folks. But I know people who think about what they give in the factions of what they're going to receive in return. Well, if I give this, then surely I'll get something greater in return. We see that a lot from preachers on TV, do we not? You see it on Facebook a lot. You know, if you'll give $10, you'll receive $1,000 in return. Or if you'll give $1,000 to my ministry, you will receive $10,000 in return. Anybody ever see those television evangelists? They're the scourge of the earth. Scourge of the earth. And it's not for me to judge about the status of their salvation, but I believe there's a special place in eternity of hell for those types of folks. I really do. Because they're taking something that should be a pure and honest ministry, and they are defiling it. And Jesus cast those types of people out of the temple, did he not? In anger, he cast them out of the temple because they were the money changers. But Jesus gave as a grace gift. He gave himself not because he felt obligated or felt that he should or felt that he had to. He gave his life because he loved us. And that's how we ought to give to God. We ought to give to God exactly as God has given to us by the means of grace. You know, Christians, we're only passers through. You hear that old song, you know, we're just, you know, wayfaring pilgrims. There's a lot of reality in that. We are just wayfaring pilgrims. We're not going to spend eternity in this life. But you know, there's some people who prepare themselves in this life like they're preparing for eternity here. You know what? Don't build up for yourself wealth on this side of glory, because that is a wealth that eventually will corrode and be corrupted. But Jesus said, prepare up for yourselves wealth in a place where moth and rust do not corrupt. Prepare for yourself a wealth in heaven. Prepare your heart for something greater. What is the purpose of our stewardship? Our purpose is to honor the Lord. To honor the Lord. And the way that you give is a huge factor in the honor that God receives from it. The second thing I want you to look at is this. What is the product of our stewardship? What is the product of our stewardship? He says that we are to love and to honor Him with our substance. If you look in the King James Version, verse 9 basically says it like that. He says, honor me with your substance. Honor me with your substance. Honor me with your wealth. You know, it's good to have things that money can buy. Who in here likes to have things that money can buy? Thank you. Thank you for being honest with me this morning. I enjoy things that money can buy. New fishing rods. New fishing reels. I sure would be happy with a bass boat, you know. Bank fishing's getting old. We all enjoy things that money can buy. There's no Judas Priest in here today. We're just humans. We're all the same. We enjoy things that money can buy. But is it not far better to have the things in life that money cannot buy? Did you catch that? Is it not far greater in life to have the things that money cannot buy? You can buy all kinds of things with money. If you're rich enough, you can pretty much buy anything that you want in this world. But there are things in this life that money cannot buy. Money cannot buy happiness. Amen? Money cannot buy happiness. Money cannot buy peace. Amen? Money can't bring you peace. You know, money can't bring you that peace of mind. Money can't bring you a spiritual peace. Money can't repair your family. Amen? Money can't heal you from disease. You know, you might be able to afford the best medical care in the world, but money cannot cure you. Rich people die every day, do they not? Amen, absolutely. Just like the poor ones. Money can't bring those things. It's good to have things in this life that money cannot buy. You can have happiness, and you can have peace, and you can have salvation. And you can have all of those things aside from money. No matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter how middle class you are, you can have happiness and you can have peace and you can have salvation through Jesus Christ. Those are the things that money cannot buy. What's the product of your stewardship? What do you have to show for all of your money and for all of your passions? Maybe you've got a beautiful house. Maybe you've got the biggest boat in the neighborhood. Maybe you drive the nicest car. Maybe you have all of those things. That is the product of your monies and your passions. But what has that gained you? You know, I think about that parable of Jesus when a young rich merchant came to Jesus and said, you know, basically, Lord, what do I need to do to be able to follow you and to have a relationship with you? He says, you know what? Take all the, you know, follow all of the commandments. And he basically listed off these commandments. He said, well, Lord, I've done all those things. He said, okay, if you've done that, now you need to take all of your riches, sell it and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And it said that the young rich man went away sorrowful. Went away sorrowful. You see, that man couldn't understand that the things that money could not buy were far greater than the things that money could buy. And he passed up an opportunity to have a personal, walking, one-on-one relationship with Jesus. What is the product of your stewardship? Has your stewardship been to self, or has your stewardship been to God? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You know, you probably heard it misquoted all of your life. Money is the root of all evil. Anybody ever heard that? Money is the root of all evil. Here in the ESV as well as the King James, as most every version that you will read will say, the love of money. Money's the thing that we've all got to have, right? Everybody agree? Amen. Church, you got to have money to survive. How do you think the electric bill gets paid? Amen. How do you think that you enjoy the air conditioning that you enjoy here in this building? It's through the monies that people give in honoring God through their tithes. So money is important. I've heard people say before, money isn't the most important thing in life, but it's right up there with oxygen. You know, life can be difficult without monies. Okay? I mean, that's just the reality. If you've ever been in a situation where your paycheck just went from coming every other week to not coming at all, you've been there. Has anybody ever been there? I've been there. I have lived through it. And I tell you what, for the first good 2 or 3 days, you will absolutely freak out. All right? You will have a breakdown about how am I going to pay the electric bill? How am I going to pay my mortgage? You know, how am I going to make it? Amen? The struggle is real. The struggle is real. So money is something that we've got to have in life. So I'm not going to tell you, and the Word of God's not going to tell you that money is evil, but look at what it says. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. If your love is placed in money, you've got problems. And it's through this craving, through the love of money, that some have wandered away from the faith, and they pierce themselves as with many pangs, or basically this pain of stabbing themselves. The Scripture's basically saying you're forcing yourself into basically a self-mutilation because of your love for money. You're killing yourself spiritually because of your love for money. What is the product of your stewardship? Are you killing your faith in God because your stewardship is to your own personal finances rather than giving to honor God with all the glory that you possibly can? The love of money truly does bring about evil. But money is something that we do have to have. What is the product of your stewardship to God? You know, the scriptures already told us we give with our substance. We give with our wealth. But how do we do it? The first thing I want you to look at is how we get it. You know, how do we get the monies that we give to God? The first thing that you need to understand is it has to be a pure means. Amen? As with all things that we do in the church and for Christ, the means must be pure. Amen? The means must be pure. You know, I work in a profession where I see and encounter all types of people who make large quantities of money from anything but pure means. Okay? Are you following me? Amen. I was working the other night. We'd received a call about a gentleman who was going to be bringing in a load of dope to a well-known hotel in our community. And they gave us a description of the man, the description of the truck, and where the dope would be. So we had probable cause, and we stopped this gentleman as he pulled up to the motel, and we found the dope, we found the gun, and he had a brand new 2017 GMC Sierra, paid for in full. Okay? Would anybody like to venture and guess how he paid for that truck in full? Probably had something to do with the cargo. Well, now that truck belongs to the Rockcastle County Sheriff's Department, okay? And it is forfeited, has been seized and forfeited to the Sheriff's Department, okay? And let me tell you something, that hurt that guy more than anything. He wasn't so upset that we caught him with the dope and the gun. He was upset that we took his truck paid for in full. You know, money does things to people. It twists their minds sometimes in some very radical types of ways. I'm a big believer. You want to hurt a drug dealer? Take all the assets that they've gotten from all the dirty money that they produced in their life. And that hurts them more than anything. Hurts them worse than going to prison sometimes. What is the product of your stewardship? How do we get it? You know, there's some people who would obtain money at all cost. I know people like that. They'll do anything to obtain wealth, whether it be honestly or dishonestly. You know, we might know people, maybe you know somebody, they're not necessarily a bad person, they don't necessarily do things illegally, but they would cut a few corners through their work in order to make more money. Anybody know anybody like that? Anybody know somebody who might build a house and cut a corner in the process of building it in order to make more money? We probably all know a contractor or two that might be like that. No offense, Sam. No offense, Sam. Not pointing any fingers. I have to forget sometimes that we've got contractors among us. But that's the reality. We all know people who would cut a corner, provide a lesser service, do a not so good of a job if they thought that they could make more money from the transaction. How do we get it? It's not only about how we get it, but it's also about how we guard it. Once you've got it, how do you guard it? Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. This says something very interesting about how we guard our wealth. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How we guard it. You know, some people are very giving in nature. Some people, where their heart is where the treasure is. And they're going to do everything they can to keep their treasure right here, close to their heart and in their hands. But it's not only about how we get it, it's not only about how we guard it, but it's also about how we give it. Sometimes the more we have, the less we give. Hence, how we got more, right? Hence, how we got more by giving less. How we give it. Truly, we ought to give to God for the honor and for the glory of giving to God. What is the product of your stewardship? Is the product of your stewardship ruining your relationship with God because your passion is about your money? Where's your heart? Or is the product of your stewardship a greater relationship with God because of the manner in which you give. The third thing out of this message I want you to see is this. What is the priority of our stewardship? What is the priority of our stewardship? Remember, how do we honor God? We honor God with our wealth, do we not? It says that in the very first scripture we read, verse 9. It says that we honor Him with our wealth. We honor Him with our wealth. If we give with the right heart, with the right means, and the right intent. But I want you to notice this. I want you to notice. Go back to verse 9 in Proverbs chapter 3. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all of your produce. Now that's a key word there. First fruits. Why is that so important? Because what part do we give to God? We give to God the part of the first fruits. So many times we want to give to God of what is left over. Anybody know anybody like that? Or maybe you're like that yourself. Well, before I give to God, let me pay the bills. Let me spend all the money that I want to on the things that I want to spend money on. Let me make sure that I get all that out of the way, and then I'll give to God. Here in Proverbs 3, it says, honor God with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Give God the first. That means give God off of the top. Don't give Him out of the last. Don't give Him the leftovers of your time. Don't give Him the leftovers of your talents. Don't give Him the leftovers of your money. Give Him the first fruits. Give Him of the best. What happens if you don't give of God of the first fruits? When you get to the end, you're just giving the leftovers, the things that weren't as good, or the things that you didn't want to fool with. You know, especially when they talk in this biblical sense, talking about literally giving of God the first of your harvest. Obviously, the first of the harvest is going to be the best, is it not? Amen? If you've ever been late to the farmer's market, you know what it's like when they're getting ready to load up and go home for the day. The best of the stuff has already been sold to the early birds. And you're getting the leftovers. Sometimes the leftovers aren't too good. How do you give to God? Do you give to God of the first fruits? Or do you give God your leftovers? I want us to think about what God gave to us. God gave His only begotten Son. Gave the only one He had. And He gave Him free and willingly. What do you give to God? What do you give to God? Remember this, you're giving to God what God's already given you and already blessed you with. You're giving to God what God has already placed in your custody. He owned it to begin with. But what are you giving to God? God gave His only begotten Son. Are you giving God the leftovers of your life? If so, I hope that you'll change. If so, I hope that you'll be willing to give God honor with what you have, but also by giving God the honor with the first fruits. The fourth and final thing I want you to see as we close, and we close quickly, is this. What is the true perception of my stewardship? What is the true perception? Let's talk about what God sees and what you see. You know, for some, we see our perception of our stewardship as being immaculate. And it's great. I give, and I give faithfully, and I give willingly, and I give of my heart. But as God looks at your stewardship, what's God's perception? What does God have to say about your stewardship? Because you know what? What God says is what matters. Amen. It's not our perception. It's not your perception. It's not my perception that matters. But it's God's perception that truly matters. Look with me in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. I want to read these for you quickly. He says, therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the houses of your fathers should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor. Go one more verse for me, sorry. Those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Basically, it's this, folks. Those who honor me, I will honor, says God. If you honor me, I will honor you. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. As the King James Version says it, those who dishonor me will be disgraced. The ESV actually puts in a little lighter terms, maybe. The King James says, those who disgrace me, he says, I shall disgrace them. If you honor God, he will honor you. If you dishonor God, he will disgrace you. You will be lightly esteemed. You will not receive the rewards that you could possibly receive if you were but willing to honor God with the first fruits. See, this wasn't so bad, was it? I didn't tell you that you've got to give more. I didn't tell you that it's about X number of dollars. I didn't even say the magical word, 10%. All right? None of that. This was pretty painless. But what I have presented to you is the truth of the Word of God as to why we give, as to how we give, the products of what we give, the perception of what we give and what we think versus what God thinks. And where does all that fall? Now the ball's in your court. Have your monies, have your passions been placed elsewhere? You know, have the things that you can have with physical possessions ruled your life? And if so, it's ruled for far too long. Now is the time to come and rededicate your hearts to God and not let anything stand in the way of serving Him. Monies is an important thing. It is. You know, we've all got to have it to survive. But do we honor God with our wealth? Do we honor Him with the first fruits? As our praise team comes and prepares this hymn of invitation, I want to encourage you, if God is working on your heart today, maybe you need to pray about your dedication to Him. Maybe you need to pray about your heart of giving. Maybe you just don't give with an honorable heart. Maybe you don't give as you should, and you know that's a problem. Well, maybe you could just pray and come and ask God to rededicate your heart, to renew your heart, and give for the right reasons. I hope this message has spoken loudly and boldly to your heart, and that as Christians, as a church, we will be able to come and unite together and move forward. Move forward, honoring God with the things that we have and by the giving of the first fruits. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank You for today. Lord, this opportunity to come and to gather in Your house, to praise You, to honor You, to worship You. And Lord, Father God, I just pray that this message has spoke to the hearts of Your people. Lord, I know it's spoken to me. Lord, I know that this message has really impacted my heart about how I give and why I give. And Lord, that's the message that I know You wanted to go forth here today. Lord, not necessarily to make people feel bad, not to ask them to give more, but Lord, to just ask people to give as You would have them to give, Lord. And Father, I leave that up to You. And I leave that up to Your Spirit to speak to the hearts of Your people. So God, we give it all to You. It's in Your holy precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen.